It is Monday, December the 1st, 2014. This is episode 69 of the Gruwick Report podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is. I am Steve Gruwick, of the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, and I'm joined with my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Just want to start off the show by saying hope everybody out there had a fabulous Thanksgiving and a safe Thanksgiving as well. And you can subscribe right now to our YouTube channel, and you can also join our Facebook discussion group at facebook.com/GerweckReportPodcast, almost 2,000 members. So it's very strong. We got a lot of interesting threads on there with a lot of good discussion, a lot of good people. So check it out, facebook.com/GerweckReportPodcast, also youtube.com/GerweckReportPodcast, the GRP, steadily on the move.
Yeah, we're growing by leaps and bounds week after week.
Right.
So we definitely appreciate your support. And, you know, we do this for you, the listener out there. And we always appreciate comments we get on social media. You can email us. We'll post the links at gerweck.net. Reach out to us. We definitely want to hear what you think about the GRP, how we can make this show even better. We've got big plans in 2015. There's no doubt about it. Got some big guests in the works. So stay tuned for bigger and better things at the GRP. And, you know, Frank, real quickly, I did have a nice Thanksgiving, probably ate too much like a lot of people out there. How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was fattening. That pretty much sums it up. It was great to be around, you know, family and being around some friends and making sure that, you know, everybody, you know, we basically woke up to experience that, and we had a lot of things to be thankful for this year, and 2015 is about to be in, and it's going to be even better.
Absolutely. And I also want to mention, Frank said we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter at Gerweck Report. You can follow us there. A suggestion to us here at the GRP was to use the hashtag GRP. So if that's something you'd like to do as well, and put some comments and put the hashtag GRP for us, we'd definitely like to have you interact with us there as well. We're on Stitcher, we're on TuneIn, we're on iTunes, and we're on Spreaker. And something I also put up just recently was an Instagram account as well. We can see a lot of our pictures, a lot of great pictures that was sent to us, people plugging the Gerweck Report podcast and the Gerweck.net website. So we can go to our Instagram as well. Just look for Steve Gerweck on there. Quickly go back to Thanksgiving because, you know, Frank, Thanksgiving came. It's usually a very slow news period. In fact, I thought Thanksgiving, I'll probably take the day off for the most part from the website. I never take a day off from Gerweck.net. I will say that. For a site of this magnitude, you never take the day off. But I thought I'd take the day off Friday. I thought that I'd, you know, have a light news day. And kind of out of nowhere, I get information that CM Punk has broke his silence. That CM Punk, after months of being away from a WWE ring and all kinds of rumors about his future, obviously he got married to AJ Lee over the summer. Months and months now have passed, and finally, kind of out of nowhere, and I'm really surprised he did it during Thanksgiving week, he goes on the Colt Cabana Art of Wrestling podcast. Boy, Frank, when I went back and actually listened to the podcast, I was surprised about things he brought up. It definitely changed my tune on Phil Brooks, CM Punk, and it really shed some negative light on WWE. We're going to get into a lot of topics that he discussed. But what was your first reaction when you heard that CM Punk finally broke his silence?
I really wasn't too surprised, to be honest with you. I knew eventually he was going to have to say something. But it wasn't until I heard the interview and the magnitude of what he was saying, it blew my mind. I mean, this guy literally exposed WWE and their managerial practices, and really, he talked about what we've asked Teddy Long about on a previous interview we've done here on the GRP about that independent contractor and how WWE gets away with that. So I was very shocked by that. All in all, if you haven't heard this, I would suggest you look up The Art of Wrestling with Tolkien Bano on YouTube, because it's out there. I actually have posted it on the GRP discussion group page for people who want to listen to it. you need to check this out. Because like with Steve, it kind of changed my tune a little bit. I've been very critical of CM Punk. I still am critical of Punk. I think Punk is somewhat overrated. But at this point, I mean, my thing is that it's professional wrestling, and you have to always wonder when they're working you and when they're not working you. And last night, I had a discussion with a Facebook member, and I'm like, I don't believe crap these guys say. But then listening to it again this morning, I'm kind of thinking to myself, what does Punk actually have to lose at this point in his career? If he's done, he's done. I think that he went out with a gun blazing.
You know, what was interesting too, Frank, was I guess he's basically settled now. He's done with WWE, and they wanted him to sign a clause where he wouldn't say anything disparaging about the company.
Yeah.
And to Punk's credit, he didn't sign that clause, which allows him now to speak out freely about the company. And you can kind of understand when you listen to the podcast why they didn't want him to say anything, because he's shed a lot of light on a number of issues and topics that if this happened to you, you'd be very upset too. And it's the mentality now of, I thought of the, after I listened to the podcast, Frank, I was thinking about Wrestling with Shadows and something Bret Hart said on that, 1997 documentary. It's like, you're a piece of meat. They milk you for everything they can milk out of you. And then they take you out back to the barn and shoot you in the head.
Right.
And you see that over and over now. You know, when I heard about things that CM Punk said, this is just the mindset this company is in. I don't even know where to start with this information, Frank. But the one thing that I thought of was just the mindset of Vince McMahon and this company is CM Punk asks Vince McMahon if he can walk Chael Sonnen to the octagon for UFC. Vince McMahon says no, that the UFC is barbaric and somebody's going to get killed fighting in the UFC. And then CM Punk, to his credit, says, do you remember Owen Hart? Owen Hart died in your ring. So it's the whole mentality of, you know, UFC's not, I mean, what Triple H just said, UFC's not competition to us. They've kicked our ass in pay-per-view. We went to $9.99 a month because we couldn't compete with UFC on pay-per-view. And I remember the comments that Dana White made that we kind of poo-pooed a little bit and saying, well, I can't imagine anything in my company would be worth $9.99. You know, I have higher quality entertainment. And, you know, Vince is going to sell his stuff for $9.99 because, let's face it, the pay-per-views have lost their luster. And people are not paying $49.95. People are not paying $59.99 for these pay-per-views anymore. And they have to give it to you for free or part of your subscription for $9.99. I mean, they give the Survivor Series for free. But it's just that mindset, Frank, that, oh, boy, UFC's not competition. They're barbaric, but yet they're kicking our ass on pay-per-view.
Right, and they're barbaric. Somebody's going to die there. And can you believe they're going to have women fighting in the octagon? And it's just like Punk said. It's a damn near 70-year-old man who's out of touch with
right. Everything.
He's out of touch. I mean, Vince has been out of touch with his company, I would dare say, over the last probably 15 years
since he bought WCW.
Yeah, and a little bit before that. I mean, they just, the mentality of that company, and you know, like how you and I were talking offline, we're thinking like, oh, maybe things will get better when Trips takes over. Well, I'm not so sure about that now.
No way.
After hearing what Punk said and the, you know, the dichotomy of how that company works, and they live in their own damn bubble, which they say, oh, UFC isn't competition to us, but yet on Del Rio's contract and on Punk's contract, it clearly states you can't go to UFC for like 1 year or something like that.
Isn't that insane?
That's how are you going to stop somebody from making money?
Independent contractor can't work for UFC for a year.
Independent contractor can't work for UFC. Independent contractor can't work for any other brand outside of WWE, and they control everything you do.
Control your schedule.
Control your schedule.
House shows.
Control your house
appearances,
shows. Yep.
Interviews.
Yep.
Autograph signings.
Yep.
But you're an independent contractor.
Right. This is a complete bull is what it is.
You know, this goes back to something I was saying about the WWE Hall of Fame. I was in my little rant a couple podcasts ago that it's some 70-year-old guy in Stamford, Connecticut, that sits down and says, do I want Joe Blow in my Hall of Fame? And if I do, he goes in. If I don't want Joe Blow in my Hall of Fame, Joe Blow doesn't go in the Hall of Fame. And that's Vince McMahon today, 70 years old, and he's in this mindset. UFC's barbaric. And yet, as CM Punk pointed out, when Triple H wanted to walk to the ring, Floyd Mayweather, that was okay.
Right.
Because nobody died in boxing.
Yeah.
Right, Frank? Nobody's ever died in a boxing ring.
Well, and on top of that, Steve, you got to also remember that, Punk said that he pitched an idea after the pipe bomb promo because he was so over and he was getting so many outside business proposals that he wanted to actually change his wrestling gear style to wearing some shorts with sponsors on them. And Vince said, no way. And then Brock Lesnar comes in a year later and they do the exact same thing.
I wouldn't call it an interview. According to his conversation with CM Punk on his podcast, he said he already had sponsors that were interested in putting their company logo on what would have been CM Punk's new trunks. He was going to change his look, change his style, change his hair, change everything. And that he'd have sponsors like Brock Lesnar has today. And this is before Brock Lesnar came into the company.
Right.
That could have made not only CM Punk money, but potentially the WWE money. Well, Vince wouldn't go for that. He's like, that's gonna upset our sponsors already. We can't have that. And then, of course, a short time later, Brock Lesnar comes in with all his logos on his UFC gear. And I know Brock Lesnar already had those contracts before he went to WWE. But again, here's CM Punk. I got an idea. I'm hot. I'm over. The pipe bomb, everything. Everybody's talking about me. Let's cash in. Let's make some money on me. And what does the company do? They just poo-poo it.
Yep.
Push it right down the drain. As everything that gets hot in WWE, doesn't it seem like they drop the ball? Nexus, that gets hot. The invasion angle gets hot. Other characters get hot. And what do? They just drop the ball with them.
And they've done that for years now, where they've had angles where they've dropped the ball. I mean, my God, look at Cesaro. Perfect example. A guy that was over at the beginning of this year, and where is he at now? I mean, I believe it's because he made that comment about, well, who wants to see Johnson versus Randy Orton 500 times? I honestly believe that that's probably one of the reasons why he has issues right now in the company. And it's funny because after this interview or this conversation happened with Punk and Cabana, Road Dogg was on Twitter. I don't know if you saw this or not. But a lot of fans were really knocking WWE and knocking Triple H and Vince McMahon for their treatment of CM Punk and their treatment of wrestlers in general. And Road Dogg said, you're only getting one side of the story. So somebody conveniently told Road Dogg, he says, well, isn't it funny how you're saying you're only getting one side of the story? He's like, weren't you somebody who was released and fired and you did a shoot interview about, and you knocked Triple H and now all of a sudden now you're his best friend now and you got your head up his ass?
Isn't that interesting?
It's interesting.
Tonight, as we tape this podcast here on Monday, there are, I guess Stone Cold is going to do a podcast with Vince McMahon tonight, and he says nothing's off limits. And I just said to Frank, if you could ask Vince McMahon anything, nothing was off limits, what was the first question you'd ask him? And what was it, Frank?
What is your beef with Randy Savage, and why is he not in your Hall of Fame?
That would be my very first question of Vince McMahon is, why isn't Randy Savage in the WWE Hall of Fame? We were in the same mindset. But is Stone Cold going to ask that question tonight?
See, that's cool to talk about CM Punk. That's fine. I have a problem with that because that just happened. But if you want to really do a straight-up interview, okay, let's bring up Randy Savage. Let's bring up the Hall of Fame, and let's bring up CM Punk. But also, Andrew Davis last night, and I were having a discussion on Facebook. Andrew Davis brought up something else that they're probably not going to bring up. And, that's the Benoit tragedy.
They're selling this as nothing's off limits.
Yeah. But this is WWE, people. that's selling this. That's nothing that's off limits. Like, ECW was going to be exposed. There was nothing exposed about that.
Road Dogg is saying, you're only hearing one side of the story, and that's true. CM Punk has given his side of the story.
Right.
And I can't sit here and say, Frank, I believe 100% of what CM Punk said.
Absolutely not.
Do I think CM Punk embellished some stories? Probably.
Yeah.
Do I think he said things to make people look probably worse than they probably should have been portrayed? Probably. But at the end of the day, I believe a lot of what he said is true. Now, tonight is their forum, the WWE Network. Today is December 1st. The 30 days is over for your November free trial, the free hashtags or whatever they're trying to sell. Tonight's going to be $9.99 again. And tonight they're building this up as this is a free-for-all. Vince can discuss anything tonight. He might be asked about any question tonight. Well, tonight is your chance. If what CM Punk said was not true, then refute it. Here's your form. You have one of your Hall of Famers interviewing you tonight, and you know Stone Cold don't usually put up with BS, and that's always his whole character, right? No, take no BS. Well, tonight is your chance to get on your network and refute whatever CM Punk said that you have an issue with. Tonight is your forum to do that. And will he do it? I guess only time will tell, Frank, but I have my doubts.
I have my doubts as well. Stone Cold's pretty much, you know, always been the badass that, you know, likes to say whatever he wants to. But, you know, the thing about it is that Stone Cold Steve Austin doesn't work for WWE. It's going to be kind of interesting, the context of the questions that he's going to ask McMahon, because I was, you know, saying to you, you know, where are these questions coming from?
Right.
Was it questions that were submitted through Twitter? Was it questions that were submitted through Facebook? Was it questions that were submitted right to Austin's email account or something like that? I don't know. So that's kind of where I'm kind of leery about what's he going to ask, and is Vince going to be straight up? Or is this going to be kind of a situation like with Livewire back in the day where McMahon doesn't want to ask, you know, answer anything? I mean, this ain't going to be Donahue from back in the day, you know what I mean?
No.
Vince is not going to put himself in that type of situation.
But if he would do that, wouldn't that generate some interest in WWE all of a sudden?
Yeah, but Vince doesn't want to do that.
No, he doesn't. But yet he still wants people to pay $9.99.
True.
Because I don't know, December comes, TLC, Frank. I don't care about TLC.
Right.
The two matches announced, I could care less about. I know the card's not been revealed yet, but here I was last night. I was debating this last night. It's 11:45 my time. You know, it's midnight. I figure if I sell the network subscribed for your free trial, December 1st kicks in, I'll be charged for December. And I'm like, do I want to have the network for December? $9.99. And I thought, do I want to watch TLC? And I looked at what the matches announced. No, I don't want to see TLC. Do I think tonight's podcast with Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to be revealing, very telling? No, I don't. So what did Steve Gerwick do? He goes into his setup, looks for the cancel button, cancel subscription, and I'm officially off the network today. And I'm sure I'm probably not alone.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you're not. And it's going to take a lot more than off the, you know, record interview with Vince McMahon that's going to, you know, persuade a lot of people, because at the end of the day, it is WWE. So you can't really believe, you know, that you're going to get the full story from WWE.
You know, one thing, we were, of course, critical of CM Punk. We thought he basically quit, you know, after the Royal Rumble. He took his ball and went home. That's the way we kind of viewed it. And now you find out what, you know, behind the scenes, what was going on. One of the things that was, I don't know if WWE can refute this, is if they fired their employee, CM Punk, who, of course, is dating at the time AJ Lee, who might have been, what, even the Divas champion at that time. They're going to get married. People know the date. AJ Lee is still there. CM Punk is, as Vince would say, on a sabbatical, as he said on his conference call there.
Right.
That supposedly Triple H contacts CM Punk a couple days before the wedding and says, you know, do you have time to talk? And he's like, Trips, I've always had time to talk. I got no issues with talking, but right now, you know, my mindset is getting married to AJ Lee. Okay. you know, contact me a day after the wedding and we can talk.
Right.
So the day of the wedding, June 13th, what happens? CM Punk receives his termination notice, breach of contract, on his wedding day. At the same time, he is still with AJ Lee, who is an employee of WWE. Now, how do you justify firing a guy who you're disgruntled with, or he's disgruntled with you, who has all these issues, and that you still are employing his fiance, soon-to-be wife? How do you drop a termination notice on the day of the wedding? Don't say, well, it's just the day it came out. Or they knew when AJ Lee and CM Punk were tying the knot, and they waited to that day. And if that's not true, then Vince McMahon should say that's not true.
Yeah.
And if that is true, and I believe it is, boy, that makes WWE look really, really bad.
Everything they do makes them look bad, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it. I mean, at this
that's
point,
the way they conduct. That's the way they conduct business,
yeah,
Frank.
Petty.
We're going to fire you on your wedding day.
Right. Very, very, very petty company. And you know, you hear stories all the time about the pettiness and the backstabbing that goes on there. It's like a shark tank, and it kind of reminds me of everything that Punk said. You know, in that conversation he had with Colt Cabana there. I mean, all these people out here, all the WWE fans that worship the whip and just they go whatever the whip says, and they knock other companies, you know, they knock, you know, ECW, they would knock, you know, TNA, Ring of Honor, WCW, whatever. That company, from what Punk may have seen, like, is being run just like WCW, in that they don't have a plan for anybody except for John Cena. That's all Vince is concerned about, is what are we going to do next with John Cena? But yet, Punk was the champion for, what was it, 400-something days, right? He wanted to be in the WrestleMania main event and was like, we can make it a triple threat. And looking back on it, I'm not a real big fan of triple threat matches, but I don't think that would have been a bad idea. And the outcome could have stayed the same with John Cena going over. But it would have been something different. You would have had the two babyfaces in there with the heel. And then the whole thing, I mean, you know, you can touch on it, the whole thing with Punk's health, the fact that he had a bad knee, the fact that he, you know, got kicked in the ribs by Ryback, who we call the steroid guy, the fact that Punk was walking around for months with a staph infection, which, you know, could kill you.
Yep.
And the WWE doctor is basically saying, well, if it doesn't hurt, I'm not going to touch it, because you need to go out here and perform. And it's kind of like, damn, they put a lot of pressure on their talent, don't they?
And they want him to take a piss test, but Triple H won't take the piss test.
Right.
And how many times has Randy Orton failed one of those tests? And now we're hearing that they're changing their wellness policy, that you could have a strike forgiven?
Yeah.
I mean, Randy Orton should have already been fired how many times?
Yeah.
But he's forgiven now because they've changed their policy.
Right. It's been amended.
But they want CM Punk to pee in a cup. Oh, Batista peed in the cup. Why don't you pee in the cup?
Yeah, did you pee in the cup, Trips?
Hey, Trips, did you pee in the cup?
Right.
When I listened to that podcast, was CM Punk pretty much accomplished everything he set out to accomplish. Yet, he said, as far as the rumors go, there's been rumors I didn't want to work with Triple H. I was upset with the WrestleMania situation. I was injured. You know, what was the true story of me leaving the company? I was disgruntled over storyline issues, etc. The underlying situation was I was hurt. I wanted to go home. It wasn't fun for me anymore. I'm all banged up, and I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Why am I getting out of bed to go get banged up some more for the pay I'm receiving? But the one thing that I got from listening to that podcast that kept going back to a couple times was I didn't get my WrestleMania main event.
Right.
And CM Punk, I think, is kind of the old school mentality of, it's great to be at WrestleMania, it's great to be on the card, you get that WrestleMania moment, but once you've done that, and I'm one of the biggest stars in the company, and I've had the title for 400 and some days, that how, in reflecting on my career, how did I not get in the main event at WrestleMania? And honestly, Frank, I don't know how they justify. He was one of the biggest stars in the last 5 years in that company. How did he not get his WrestleMania moment?
See, that's a very good question. I have no idea. Well, this guy was a WWE champion for 400 plus days. You don't put him in the main event. I mean, you got to look at the situation here. Punk pretty much got, in my opinion, got jobbed out. He was a champion. He had Paul Heyman. He dropped the belt to The Rock. And then he got The Undertaker and got, you know, dropped there. He got jobbed out there. Jobbed out to Brock Lesnar. It's just crazy. And the guy was, you know, CM Punk was probably the number two guy behind John Cena to not get that main event match at WrestleMania.
And one of the defenses from WWE side is say, well, we gave you The Undertaker. You had The Undertaker match. And he says, okay, I have The Undertaker. We tear the house down. We have the best match on the show. And I don't get paid the same because my match wasn't the main event.
Right.
So whatever. And he kept saying, it's what goes on last, Vince. The last match is the main event. When I wrestled The Undertaker, everybody knew it was probably the best match on the show, but since he didn't put it on last, I will not receive a WrestleMania main event check.
Right.
And so I can understand that. That this guy's been in the company how long? He's been their champion. He's been way over with Pipe Bomb. When you look at it, I mean, what did they want him to do this year, Frank? They wanted him to wrestle Trips, right?
Right.
And he's like, why should I wrestle Trips? I wrestled him already. He beat me. So he looks in Trips' face and says, you know, when you pinned me 3 years ago, what was the justification for it? Trips had no answer for that. So why am I going into WrestleMania geared up to take on Triple H again? I don't want that.
Well, Punk also stated in that, and it's what Jim Cornette said for years, and Punk, you know, reiterated it. You need to wrestle me. I don't need to wrestle you.
Right.
And he said, you know, and I think the most telling thing about that is when he said that I'm not going to give you the privilege to wrestle me. And, you know, he made it clear that him and Trips don't get along. They never have. He said that Hunter's never liked him. And that Hunter would always look sideways at him when he would be in the same room with him. And he just wasn't a fan. He was, you know, you hear these stories all the time about Triple H and his dry humor, and
yes,
and his, you know, making fun of guys, and nobody thinks his jokes are funny except for him. Punk, you know, says the best every day. Here's a guy that never wanted a real job, and now he's walking around in a suit. Look at me. I've said it here on this podcast several times about Triple H. I thought Triple H was a good worker. But when was the last time Triple H was really hot in the business? He hasn't been hot for years. It's the same stale, stagnant, tyrant storyline they've been doing, the Authority. And really, bottom line, to sum up, Triple H's career is like this. Here's a guy who was mediocre in 96 and 97 and 98. Was starting to get that push for DX. Got the WWE Championship. Cheated on his girlfriend, married the boss's daughter, had some kids by her. He's in the Federation for life. He's the heir to the throne. That sums it up, Triple H. And we all thought that it was going to be a difference when Trips takes over the company. It ain't going to happen because Trips has that same mentality for the person who's been teaching him everything about how to run the company. So just when I'm thinking to myself, maybe one day on the network we'll have the music, the royalties will get paid because Trips will be in charge. No, he's going to have that same philosophy. We don't pay for music. So I'm kind of wondering now, Steve, you know, with this podcast with Punk coming out and Punk pretty much burying Hunter and burying WWE, do you think they're going to start dubbing over Cult's personality now?
Probably. Maybe CM Punk will disappear from some of the shows.
I don't know if they're going to disappear from any of the shows. But, you know, they still make a lot of money. Matter of fact, the night that podcast dropped, don't quote me on this, but I believe that they were airing Punk's documentary on the network.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I've already heard some people, and I want to shoot this down before, you know, there's people that are saying this is all a work, Frank, that, you know, last week they announced that Austin and McMahon are going to do this podcast the next week. And then during the week, out of nowhere, CM Punk finally breaks his silence, speaks on the Colt Cabana, show or podcast. And then, of course, tonight is the big Austin McMahon podcast. And, you know, he's talking about, I never got my WrestleMania match. I never got my WrestleMania moment. And people are starting to say, well, maybe these are related, and maybe he's gearing up for something at WrestleMania. I don't get that sense at all. I think he's very upset with WWE. You know, he said he's done with WWE, quit, he's done. He said he's basically done with wrestling. And I know we were just having a little debate about, you know, will he come back at some point, won't he? I think it's going to be a long time before you see CM Punk back in the ring, if ever. It's always hard to get that wrestling out of you. People always like that instant gratification. You go out there and people cheer for you. They pop for you. CM Punk. But I get the sense that he's very bitter. He doesn't want any part of WWE. And I mean, he's not going to go to TNA. He's not going to go to Ring of Honor right now. I kind of think that it's going to be a long, long time before we ever see, if we ever do, see CM Punk back in the squared circle again.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Punk has a lot of stuff that he needs to deal with. He has money right now. He got a settlement from WWE that he wanted. He got a settlement from the video game, I guess. And, it sucks for fans of CM Punk that it had to go that way, because Punk didn't have his defining moment. You know, the last image you saw of CM Punk was Kane choking him through a table at the Royal Rumble. That was it. There was no follow-up. There was no promo the next night. There was nothing there. And we've heard these rumors for months about what's going down. Vince McMahon constantly saying sabbatical. And Punk even said to that, he was like, why wouldn't you just come out and say you suspended one of your talents?
And they wanted to say breach of contract, so they didn't have to pay any royalties.
Right.
Because his contract ran through July, I believe, at that time.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're firing you, we're terminating you, so we don't have to pay you the royalties.
Right.
And supposedly, I think he told a story that he had a royalty check that he let expire. He didn't endorse it and take it to the bank.
Right.
So he calls them back to get this check, and they're like, no, we can't write you another check.
Right. Well, they were BSing him around about the check. He calls them up, and he's on the phone with the guy, I guess, who does payroll or somebody. And says, hey, listen, this check number, I'm going to give you the number. Can you reissue it to me? He says, and I guess you guys are holding my pay, and I guess the paycheck is sitting on a lawyer's desk. So he's calling the lawyer back. He's calling the payroll guy back. Nobody's answering the phone. Nobody's getting back in contact with him. Finally, you know, I guess that's when Trips texted him and said, hey, can you talk? He wants his money. And he said, okay, you know what? This guy wants all his money that he's old. Screw him. Let's just go ahead and terminate him. Let's
get him out of the way. And say breach of contract, which is why he responded with that big, long legal letter that he sent to WWE. We were kind of critical at that time, but now you understand what the story was behind it.
Right. He says that they said that he was in breach of contract, whatever it was, and the dates just don't match up. You have to have notified him that he was in breach of contract, which they never did. And it's like, WWE should know this type of, you know, they should know it. But it's just very interesting just how things run in that company. Just the mentality of the people that run that company. And, you know, you hear the stories all the time from Jim Cornette, you know, about Kevin Dunn. And you hear all this bad stuff. And CM Punk confirmed it. It's just mind-boggling to me, this whole independent contractor thing, that nobody never asked any questions about that. And not just WWE, but TNA as well.
Yeah, I don't know how they get away with it. I mean, we talked with Teddy Long. How do they do it? I don't know. Nobody knows. And, you know, we were saying in previous podcasts, we thought, he basically walked away. He took his ball. He went home. He quit. But he said, hey, I'm an independent contractor. I can come and go as I want. Right?
Exactly. That's what he said, yeah.
Yeah. So, and when you put it in that perspective, he's right.
Right.
And yet, if I walk away, I can't go to UFC for a year. I can't go to TNA for a year. Why? I'm an independent contractor. Why is there a no-compete clause that I can't jump ship?
Yeah.
Especially in today, I mean, if UFC's not competition to you and there's really no wrestling competition, why do you put a one-year clause that I can't jump somewhere? I mean, look at what they tried to do to Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
These guys are monsters.
Yeah, and you can't stop. I mean, what did Del Rio say? You can't. His lawyer said this whole thing is BS. You can't stop somebody from making a living.
No. Yeah, I guess he settled with them, and he can't sue them now because they made a settlement. But somebody has to come forward with this independent contractor crap and challenge it legally. And I know, you know, Raven tried that years ago, but to me, in a court of law, I don't know how they hold up on legally. They don't have a leg to stand on, I don't think, Frank.
No, they don't. They don't because you can't tell me that I'm an independent contractor because you want to control everything I do.
If an independent contractor comes and paints my house, I can't say after you're done you can't paint anybody's house for 90 days.
Right.
Or if you're working for me today, I can't say you can't work for the next door neighbor later the day, the same day, or the next day. I mean, how ridiculous does that sound? And
right.
Yet that's what they tried to do with independent contractor status. You work for us. We decide where you work. We decide who you talk to in interviews. We decide where you go. Make-A-Wish Foundation. We set all that up. All that is done by us.
Right.
Not you. But you're an independent contractor. And don't ask us about insurance.
I mean, what did Tom say? He can go get a job at Starbucks and they'll probably give him insurance.
There you go. Yeah, he said that. I go to Starbucks and get insurance.
Yeah.
And that's very telling. They think of you as an independent contractor. You're not an employee, so they don't care about you.
Yep.
Essentially, unless your name is McMahon.
Yep.
Or Triple H.
Yep. And the only reason why they care about Triple H is because, like I said, Triple H, hey, he did what any of us would have done.
Oh, I want to bring up, too, Punk was talking about 12 Rounds, a movie.
Right.
They approached CM Punk about doing 12 Rounds. And he said, you know, when is it filming or whatever? And they told him the dates. And he said, well, that's the European tour. So I'm gonna wrestle. And they said, Tripp said, no, that's not the European tour. And he's like, yes, it is. And he's like, no, it's not. You'll be fine. You just do the movie. And he's like, no, I'm pretty sure that's the dates for the European tour. So from my perspective, how does a guy of Triple H's stature in the company not realize the dates they're talking about is actually the European tour? So he says, well, let me check on that. I'll get back to you on that. So the next day, he finds out on the internet that Randy Orton, two strikes and all, is going to get the role for 12 rounds. And he really didn't want – the sense I got, Frank, he didn't really want to do it. But here's a chance to get off the road for a while, have some weekends off. And if the company wants you to do it, okay, I'll do it. But at the end of the day, they don't know their dates, supposedly with Triple H. And rather than Triple H calling him back and saying, hey, okay, you worked the European tour. We've got Randy Orton to do this 12 rounds. He's got to find out on the internet that Randy Orton gets that role, not him. Class act there, Trips.
I wouldn't expect anything different.
And you were mentioning, I think you mentioned the Ryback situation.
Right.
Actually, what's his name? Steroid guy?
Steroid guy. And it's funny because I posted a meme last night that I created. And I posted it in the Facebook group. And it's funny as hell because it's seemingly what CM Punk said Ryback told him. About just Ryback being green and clumsy. And just, it's just ridiculous, man. Just ridiculous. I mean, Punk's saying that Ryback was supposed to put him through a table, press him through a table, and he completely missed the table, and Punk hit the concrete and messed up his, what do you say, messed up his knee even more than what it already was.
He confronts Ryback.
He confronts Ryback about it. He's like, he asks him. He says,
yeah.
Tell me you did not do this on purpose. Are you just that effing dumb?
Either you did this on purpose, or you're that stupid.
Yeah, are you that effing dumb, and you suck, is what he said.
Yeah, and he, what would Ryback say?
Oh, I'm effing dumb, and I suck, and I'm sorry. Well, let Ryback tell you.
So he says he's dumb.
Yeah, but let Ryback tell you on Twitter this past weekend. It's a different story.
Slander, libel, and all this other stuff, and then he deletes all the stuff.
Right.
He says all the stuff on Twitter, and then he deletes it. He's got the Dixie Carter mentality.
Right.
Or Kurt Angle. You put something on there, you get some heat for it, then you just delete it.
Well, yeah, I remember something, Steve. In all fairness, Kurt Angle's Twitter account was hacked.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
He didn't actually say that it was hacked.
Yeah, he was hacked.
I had to go back and delete it because he didn't really say that.
Yeah, exactly. So let's be fair about it.
Let's hide behind my computer or my smartphone.
Exactly. Now, you see, ladies and gentlemen out there that's listening right now, that's right there what we just said. That was all bullshit. That's what that was.
He was talking about Make-A-Wish, and, of course, Cena gets a lot of credit, as he should, for the Make-A-Wish trips that he makes and meeting with kids that are sick in the hospital. And we've always given him a lot of credit for that. But Punk says that he's the only one that really gets the limelight in terms of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, that he's made plenty of appearances for Make-A-Wish, and the only person that really gets the credit is John Cena. And I know you don't do a Make-A-Wish to get the credit. I mean, that's something you do. You're going out of your own time, your own way to say, you know, I'd like to meet John Cena, or I'd like to meet Randy Orton, or I'd like to meet CM Punk. And that would make your day if that so-and-so came to you and said, here I am, shake your hand.
Right.
I'll give you autograph and, you know, get your picture, to everything. I'm going to do the whole thing. But he kept saying that the only person that really gets the rub for that is John Cena. And if that's true, Frank, that's kind of poor on WWE's part, because if everybody in the company, and I know other people do it, I mean, occasionally you see, you know, so-and-so made a Make-A-Wish appearance, that they should spread the thanks to all the wrestlers that do that rather than putting all the limelight on John Cena.
True. And that can cause a lot of issues in the company, where a lot of people just, you know, for that reason, they look at John a certain way when it's really not John's fault. You know, he's like CM Punk said, he's the poster guy. You know, there's plenty of times that I've seen where Big Show's done it, and I've seen Randy Orton do it, and I've seen a lot of the wrestlers do it. But Cena's the one who's in the video packages when you go to the shows. Cena's the one who is on, you know, the Did You Know, Make-A-Wish, and John Cena. John Cena did his, you know, this wish this day and this wish that day. It's always the same thing.
And, of course, he brought up the Shield. Of course, the Shield was very, very much over. CM Punk said that the original idea for the Shield was his own.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when he pitches this idea, he pitches Chris Hero's name in the group. And Vince is like, oh, you know, we can't do Chris Hero. He's going to be out of the company. So what was their brainchild for this new group? It was going to be CM Punk, The Big Show, Seth Rollins, and Daniel Bryan. And he said, no, wait a minute. Let me suggest some other things. And before you know it, it was mostly the NXT guys came up. And that's when Roman Reigns got in the group. But, again, they take credit for the Shield, and yet it appears to be a CM Punk brainchild.
Of course.
Yeah. And Triple H gets the credit, and
right,
yet CM Punk thought of it.
Yeah, well, of course. Of course. I mean, outside of sucking it, you know, what is Trips came up with?
And
I don't even know if Trips even came up with sucking it, because that was all the click. I remember seeing Hall and Nash doing cross chops in WCW on Nitro in 96, way before DX ever did it. You know, I mean, he wanted Rollins, Ambrose, and Ono. Cassius Ono, you know, Chris Hero. Triple H shot down Chris Hero, and they said, what about Leaki, which was Roman Reigns' name down in FCW? And that's how that came about. And then it was talked about, because Punk had a plan. He was going to wrestle Taker. These guys are going to be there with him. They were going to be his heater, and then he was going to work with them, as a babyface. And then it got time to when they were going to make their debut, and they said, they're saying, we're told we're not ever going to be with you.
You know, really going back to Ryback, because another thing I thought of, too, was he didn't really want to work with Ryback.
No, he didn't.
And he said to Vince, you know, I don't want to work with this guy. And he said, well, if you do this, I owe you a favor.
I owe you one.
I owe you one. And he said, I'd rather work with Curtis Axel.
Yeah.
And no, I don't want you to work with Ryback.
Yeah, he wanted to work with Curtis Axel because he says he wanted to get him over because Triple H had promised that he was going to do it, and he didn't do it. And I'm thinking myself,
yeah, so,
really?
A couple of times he said he did things that Vince would say, I owe you.
Yep.
Including turning heel to work with The Rock, right? That he didn't really want to turn heel because he's, you know, he's selling a lot of merchandise. In fact, he said that he was selling more merchandise than John Cena.
I believe it.
And so they asked him to turn heel. And he's like, okay, I guess. And he's like, Vince says, well, then I'll owe you one.
Hey, so what the hell does that mean, Steve? You know what I'm saying? Well, seriously, what the hell does that mean, I'll owe you one?
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems to me when I was listening to this that Punk had a hard time saying no to Vinnie Mac. And it's kind of like, to me, I mean, Punk came off on some of this stuff like a sucker to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. He probably should have said, look, Vince, I turned heel. I worked with Ryback. He nearly killed me. You said both times you owe me, so I guess you owe me two. So if I want the main event WrestleMania, maybe you can give it to me. You owe me.
Right.
But that never happened.
Nope.
Instead, we want you to work with Triple H again at WrestleMania. And why am I working with Triple H? What does that do for me? Nothing. They don't want to turn Cena heel. Well, he was selling more merchandise than Cena, and they turned CM Punk heel. But we can't turn John Cena heel because of the merchandise?
Yeah.
Come on. Really? They were talking about the Royal Rumble, and this was this year's Royal Rumble. It was his last date with WWE. He said his head was spinning. He got a concussion. I guess Kofi kicked him.
Yeah.
And he knew he had a concussion. He's like, get me out of the ring, you know? And he's in a spot where he's going to be in that ring for a long time. So he does the match. He knows he's got a concussion. His head is ringing. He knows he's got a concussion. So he goes back to the doctor. And the doctor says, you're passing the concussion test. Now go run the ropes. He's like, why in the hell am I going to go run the ropes? Obviously, your test doesn't mean anything. And that was the underlying theme there, Frank, is these guys get hurt, and they have these doctors that say, you know, oh, does it hurt, or what does it hurt, or I'll put you on antibiotics or whatever. It's all about getting you back in that ring as quickly as possible. That's what the doctors are there for.
That's what I got from it, too, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, he's like, he has surgery, so I think he's going to have a couple of days off. Vince calls him and says, I want you back on Raw Monday. You cut a promo. Like, I just had surgery. Or the one he said he had eye surgery, right? LASIK surgery.
Yeah.
So he thought he's going to get a little break here, and Michael Hayes says, no, you're working tonight. He's like, what? I'm working tonight. I just had surgery.
Yeah, just had elbow surgery. He's like, and he got cleared over the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another thing. He gets cleared over the phone.
Yeah.
Doctors don't even see you. They clear you. So clearly he felt he had a concussion at Royal Rumble, and they said, no, you're fine. And when he gets hurt, what's the one story he got hurt working with, who was it? Right before the European tour. Luke Harper. He said he got a concussion working with Luke Harper.
Yeah.
So they still wanted to send him on the European tour. He's like, I got a concussion. I don't want to get a blood clot like Chris Candido.
Yeah.
You know, I got a concussion, then you put me on an airplane to go overseas? Said, I can't train, I can't eat, I'm throwing up all the time, I'm miserable. They sent me over there, and I got a concussion. And yet they couldn't diagnose that he had a concussion and said, hey, you know, maybe you should go home and rest that. I mean, you look at the NFL, Frank, and I've been very critical of the NFL, but if you get a concussion, you sit out. They don't put you back in the game.
Yeah.
You're done. If you get a concussion for the day, they don't send you back in the game. There's a concussion protocol, and they make sure you're okay before you go back in the game or play the next week. But WWE, you got a concussion? Yeah, your head's spinning? I guess you'll be okay. Get back on that airplane, Frank.
Yep. Go ahead. And you got a bad knee? It's okay. Come to TV and, cut promos. Oh, but I hope we might need you in a ring, so let's go ahead and have you cleared over the phone. Oh, he says you can walk. You're fine. What was it? He had the LASIK eye surgery, and that was the same time that they the Nexus debuted. He said that they were trying to keep the angle from him and Luke Gallows, and then the Nexus guys come out there and somebody's poking him in the damn eye. So he starts, yep. He starts wailing on him, and he says that, you know, Ryan Reeves, linebacker, is like, wait a minute, we're supposed to be going over with you guys. So, I don't know, man. Ryback, to me, after hearing all this, comes off to me as a little slow.
Well, if he admits he's that effing stupid,
yeah.
Then I guess he's admitting he's that effing stupid.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Dude has a phenomenal body. As CM Punk would say, steroid guy. And Punk, Coke Man says, we're not, you know, we're not here to bury anybody. Punk says, I call like I see it. There you go.
I guess probably the I guess, you know, what made the final straw was the bump on his back.
Yep.
He goes to the doctor and says, I got this bump on my back. And he looks at it and he says, well, does it hurt? Well, no, it doesn't hurt, but, you know, there's a bump on my back. It shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I don't want to do it. I don't want to pop it because I'll have to put you on antibiotics.
Right.
Well, you already put me on antibiotics. And I got so sick from the antibiotics, I basically crapped in the ring.
Yep.
Well, I don't want to pop it. It doesn't hurt. Just go home. You'll be fine. So later he goes, I guess he goes to AJ Lee's doctor, and he's like, holy moly, it's purple. It's a staph infection.
Yeah.
He's like, you're lucky you didn't die from this thing.
Right.
So he's talking about in that office, he's draining it. He's popping it. He's draining it all out, getting all the pus out of there. And he said, I've had how many surgeries? I've had how many injuries? I've had how many tattoos? And nothing hurt worse than getting that drained out of my back.
Yeah.
And WWE's doctors didn't diagnose as a staph infection. And I tell you, I guess he's settled now and he can't sue WWE for that. But my gosh, man, the guy could have died.
Yeah.
From a staph infection, and they just said, oh, it doesn't hurt. You should be fine.
Yeah.
And I guess now, we were just talking offline, there's a picture on Facebook, supposedly of a bump that Kane has.
Yeah.
I hope Kane is listening to this podcast and gets it checked out, because you just can't take any chances anymore. You never know what's going on.
No, and it seems to me like this thing here is more about profit than about the livelihood of your talent. Because Punk was talking about how many times he's been injured, and they kept pushing him to come back, pushing him to come back. I mean, really, did you really need Punk to come out there and cut promos when the guy just had surgery? Was it really that damn important to do that?
Apparently it was. And then, of course, the story that he's talking to Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon is, you know, main event for WrestleMania this year is Randy Orton versus Batista, and it's going to be the biggest match in WrestleMania history. And that is the mentality this company has. They bring back Batista, they put him in the ring with Randy Orton all over again, and suddenly, Frank, that's going to be the biggest match in WrestleMania history.
Right.
That ended up getting scrapped as the main event.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan,
yeah.
who they had no plans for, gets hot all of a sudden, and he gets the rest. And no disrespect to Daniel Bryan, because he got his moment, and now, unfortunately, he's hurt. But, you know, Daniel Bryan got that spot. He got that WrestleMania moment, yet here's CM Punk. He still doesn't get that WrestleMania moment.
No. The entire time he was there, WWE champion for 400 and whatever days it was that he was a champion. He never got his WrestleMania moment. And I want to tell you, truth honestly, he can sit there and deny all he wants. Punk cannot tell me that he wasn't pissed off and jealous that Daniel Bryan got in that spot.
Yeah, probably.
He can't tell me that you were digging the fact that Bryan was way over more than you. You can't tell me that. And, you know, and then, you know, Steve, they have the meeting with Vince and Trips, and it's the day after the Rumble. Punk is pretty much like the hell with this and tells Triple H that he resented him for not putting him over in 2011. You remember that match they had Night of Champions? It was,
yeah, first he goes in the office and says, Triple H says, I guess I should leave you guys to talk.
Yeah. No, I want you to stay.
No, you stay here.
Yeah. I want you to stay here, Big Nose.
Yeah, so, Big Nose.
So he proceeds to tell him that he resents him, don't like him. For you not putting me over, you came back and you squashed all my momentum when you came out of retirement to wrestle me.
Yeah, he knows CM Punk is upset.
Yeah.
So CM Punk goes into Vince's office. He's like, I guess I better excuse myself.
Yeah. You don't want to do it.
Like, hey, no. You better stay here, bud.
Uh-huh.
I got things to get off my chest, and you're involved in this.
Yep.
And so what does Vince do? He cries. He doesn't want CM Punk to leave. He cries.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? Sorry, buddy. I'm going home. I'm banged up. I made some money. I got some money put away. You know, I thought I loved this business so much. It drove me nuts in the end. It drove me crazy. I guess it just drove me – essentially, it drove him out of the business,
yep.
Unfortunately,
yep.
For CM Punk and the CM Punk fans out there. And it's unfortunate that WWE – and this is something that – this is how WWE treats its employees. This is how TNA treats their employees, Frank. I've heard all kinds of stories about what's going on backstage at TNA. They don't want to pay anything or your paycheck bounces. You know, here you are, you're bumping your butt in the ring for this company, and they can't even pay you. And on top of that, they can tell you where to go and who to appear with and which autograph signings to go to and who you can talk to with interviews and say yes to this guy and no to this guy. And at the end of the day, you're just a piece of meat. Get him in, get him out.
Yep.
Okay, CM Punk, we're done with you. Take you out back and shoot you.
Yep.
Not literally, figuratively.
Yeah, we're done with you. You're banged up. Let's push Seth Rollins out.
We can't make you wrestle Ryback anymore. We've done that. We've turned you heel. It's kind of like it kind of made me think of going back to Bret Hart again. It's like they take your spot, and then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Right? They took my spot, and so they basically pushed me to WCW. Well, there's no WCW to jump to anymore. They basically just pushed him out of the business.
Yep.
Because he's not going to go to TNA. Not going to go to Ring of Honor. He can't make any money in Ring of Honor, unfortunately. You know, the way they've treated him, I mean, he said the only thing they have plans for, as I think you mentioned early in the podcast, the only thing they have plans for is John Cena. Who is going to wrestle John Cena next? That's all they care about. Everybody else, we'll try to think of something for you. Or the common one with creative, they have nothing for you, go home.
Yep.
Oh, I want to mention, too, he said that he kept a low profile. I didn't say a lot on social media. There's a lot of people he didn't talk to, and he kept mentioning a podcast. And of course, I think he was alluding to something like Stone Cold or Chris Jericho, where they have podcasts.
Jericho.
But I didn't do it. Yeah, Jericho specifically, because they have an agenda. The reason I didn't go on their show is because they have an agenda. So that was kind of, I guess, his back way slap to Chris Jericho.
Yep. Which so I don't like Jericho anyway, so it didn't bother me.
Oh, I think he also mentioned, too, was that one of the high points of his run in WWE, he's thinking to himself, why am I losing to the part-timers?
Yep.
Why am I losing to The Rock? Why am I losing to The Undertaker?
Why am I losing to Brock Lesnar?
Why am I losing to Brock Lesnar? I'm here full-time. These guys come here part-time. Even Chris Jericho in that equation and Rob Van Dam. Why do I lose to these guys when a couple months from now they'll be out of the company?
Yeah.
And I can kind of understand that, Frank. You want me to put over these guys, but they're not going to be here. They're only here for the paycheck, and they're going to go back home again. Oh, I guess we should also mention, Frank, the WWE Network situation. Because this was a big one. So this network is announced, and CM Punk is asking questions like, how is this going to affect my pay? And they have no answers for him. So he's essentially the only one asking, because what's the mentality is you don't question anything because they could knock you down the ladder.
Right.
But CM Punk is the rebel, so he don't care. Hey, Vince, what's going on with this network? How are we going to get paid? Well, we don't know. We don't know yet. Okay, you ask him a month later. Hey, Vince, how's the network going to change our pay? How are we going to get paid once the network is up and running?
You know, we don't know.
You're taking your $59.99 pay-per-views and giving it to people for $10. How's that going to affect me? Well, we don't know yet. And, you know, we had Brodus Clay on this podcast, and I think he got released in June. And I said, in June, did you know how the pay was going to play out? No, I had no idea. It wasn't addressed to us. And now we're hearing even today, Frank, in November, actually end of November, December now, a lot of wrestlers in WWE still don't know exactly how they're being paid because of the network.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sad. But again, when you've given away your pay-per-views for $59.99, for $9.99, certainly it's going to affect the bottom line. That's going to affect the wrestler's pay. But that's okay. You're an independent contractor. You can come and go as you want.
But, you know, it's their own fault because, you know, they killed their own pay-per-view business because their business wasn't hot. I mean, right. if John Cena was – this is the thing about it that I always say, that they launched the network at the wrong time, because if the wrestling business was hot, the network would be hot. You put all this – you've invested over 10 years into John Cena, and what will go down in history is that with the John Cena-led WWE, it killed the pay-per-view business.
And he would say Randy Orton would ask him questions about the network.
Right.
So here's Randy Orton, one of the bigger stars, and he's too afraid to go ask Vince what's going on with the network.
Yeah.
He can't ask his big nose buddy what's going on.
Right.
That he's got to go to CM Punk and say, hey, CM Punk, what's going on with the network?
Yeah.
John Cena can't say anything? So it's got to be CM Punk, the rebel, right? The guy who causes a stir backstage. And he did say in that podcast that it's a toxic environment backstage.
Yeah.
And I kind of believe that because, you know, what we see at the end product is not a very good product. And, you know, there is fighting backstage. We want to talk about how everything is so rosy now. You know, Trips has got more power and everything. We get along and we're happier backstage and we're friendlier now. We're on good terms. But, you know, there's a lot of backbiting going on backstage. And, you know, I guess too many people are afraid to say anything because they're afraid they're going to get knocked down the ladder.
Right.
And if you're too afraid to say anything, what happens to you, Frank? You get peed on.
Yep.
Well, if you're not going to say anything, nobody's complaining. I'll just pee on you a little bit more. And that's what's happening. If you didn't hear the interview or the podcast, I keep saying interview, really wasn't an interview. It was a conversation between CM Punk and Colt Cabana. And I guess what he said, he's going to come back next week and take some questions as well.
Right, same question, yep.
So, I guess if anything happens with the Vince McMahon situation, he'll be back on Colt Cabana's show next week to talk about it.
Yep, pretty much.
So that's our thoughts on the CM Punk situation. I think the overlying sense I got was, you know, he said he left because of health, and I'm sure that was a major factor, but I still think him not getting that WrestleMania main event really irks him to no end. And here was a year where he could have had it. You know, he volunteered to get part of the Rock Cena too, and he said, like, you know, put me in a three-way, beat me in 5 minutes, at least I get that moment. And they wouldn't do it. And I tell you, Frank, looking back at Rock Cena too, CM Punk in that match only could have helped that match.
Yeah, so, but I don't buy just, you know, beat me in 5 minutes. That's bull.
Well, beat me in 10 minutes then. I mean, you know.
I mean, we're not going to have a situation where Taz had that match in ECW and he got beat in the first 3 minutes. That ain't going to happen here.
No. Well, I think what he's saying is put me in the match. I don't have to win, but at least put me in the match.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody. Did people really want to see Rock Cena too?
No.
I didn't. No, you had that. I mean, that could have improved that match. Neither one of us are fans of three-way matches.
No.
You know what also I'm not a fan of, Frank?
What's that?
The anonymous Raw general manager.
Oh, God, man. What the hell were they thinking last week when you have so much momentum coming out of Survivor Series with Sting? And you don't produce Sting, but at the end of the show, you bring that damn stupid podium out there and you have this damn anonymous GM BS back. I am not – listen, I'm not going to watch Raw probably until January. And I haven't been watching that now. But I definitely ain't going to watch Raw now where they're talking about these, you know, GMs every different week. It's going to be a different GM. Dude, really? Haven't we already done this before? And some of these people are going to be your lame brain celebrity jabronis coming on the show. Come on, I'm done with it.
And yet you got Mick Foley out there who's publicly campaigning to be the Raw general manager. But we go back to the anonymous Raw general manager. As you said, Frank, we were talking about the last podcast. We usually do the show on Monday before Raw. So we're thinking, you know, what do you do with Sting tonight?
Yeah.
And We have all these different scenarios. He's got to be out there somehow. Save him to the end. As I pitched the idea, was have him make a few appearances and then finally tease that, you know, he's going to break his silence and say exactly why he interfered in the Survivor Series match.
Right. Why did he bring the authority?
Yeah, but no, Frank, he's not even on the show. He goes home.
Yep.
And, you know, I was talking to Atlee Green, the Body Slam podcast.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, that was the last mark-out moment we'll probably have in our lifetimes of that magnitude where you have such a huge pop for somebody finally making it to the WWE. I mean, Sting was the last holdout that never appeared in WWE. And I was just talking, you know, who could get a reaction like that? And you said Stone Cold. You know, Stone Cold coming back, maybe having a final match. The Rock can't do it. Hulk Hogan can't do it, et cetera, et cetera. Randy Savage is gone. So that really was the last big mark-out moment for us longtime wrestling fans, because there's nobody in TNA that could bring in and have that kind of reaction. That was really a special moment, Frank. We will probably never see a moment like that ever again because, you know, Stone Cold is not talking like he's going to wrestle again. So, you know, that may have been it.
Yeah.
And that's sad. That's where we are. You know, another thing I'm not a fan of, get some things off my chest here.
Shoot.
Scott Hall.
Oh, Chico himself.
Scott Hall went on Twitter this week, or actually last week, and said that his son had stolen $1,000 from him, and he says, very disappointed, don't trust anybody, essentially, in his tweet. I feel like Scott Hall has made how many mistakes in his life? More than you could count. He's been forgiven by so many people. He's been forgiven by big companies. He's been forgiven by all his friends and his family, and he's reunited with his family. Not been a very good dad over the years. Was a terrible husband to his wife, Dana. He's made countless mistakes after countless mistakes. And now his son. Finally, it looks like maybe Scott's doing something good. He's going to help his son get in the business, right? Help train him. Help get him some bookings. They can appear together on shows. That's great. I'm all for that. But earlier this summer, there's a story that a lot of the WWE guys and legends signed a card for a terminally ill child. And Scott didn't sign the card. Couldn't find his pen, I guess. I made a big deal out of it. In fact, I questioned it on Twitter. I sent it to him. Why didn't you sign the card? Is it, you know, at least respond to the story. If it's not true, respond to it. Well, what was his response, Frank?
He told you to blow him.
Yeah, in fact, he told me, and how many other people did he tell to blow?
A lot of people.
A lot of people. Anybody that would question why he didn't sign that card, his reaction to everybody was blow him. Blow me, blow me, blow me. Okay, I got past it. It didn't bother me, Frank. Really, it didn't bother me. Okay, for 10 seconds, it kind of pissed me off a little bit. I get past it. No big deal. Okay, then his son makes a mistake. And stealing money is stealing money. I get that. But if a family member steals money from you, or if a family member does something wrong to you, your number one response is not go on Facebook, not go on Twitter, not go on social media and bury them in a public forum. Because what people I don't think realize is once you say it on Twitter or Facebook, it's out there.
Yep.
You can't. I'm sorry, Ryback. I'm sorry, Dixie. I'm sorry, Kurt. You can't hit delete and it's gone. It's there. It's in the archives. You said it. And you were just asking me, did he retract that tweet? Did he delete the tweet about his son? And I said, I don't think he did. And even if he did, you put it in a public forum that your son stole money from you. Rather than going to him directly and confronting him like you should, like a father and son should, and try to discipline him or figure out what happened exactly, you go on Twitter and you totally bury the guy. Your son, a guy who was trying to make it in this business, and now his reputation is totally ruined because he stole $1,000 from the bad guy, from Chico. You know, Scott Hall, you can take your toothpick, and I can tell you where to stick it, because this is ridiculous. You're supposed to be a father. You're supposed to be a role model for your kid, and now you've totally buried your kid on Twitter. Have a little respect for others.
Ruined his reputation.
You totally ruined the kid's reputation now. And you've made how many mistakes in your life, Scott? Look in the mirror. I mean, you made a mistake earlier this year by not signing the card for the sick kid. And blow me. Oh, okay, Scott, that's your response. Blow you. That's great. That's great, Scott. So your kid messed up, and you know he responded to the kid's credit. He said, "Yeah, I messed up. I got behind on my bills. I panicked. I messed up. I made a mistake." He manned up to his mistake.
Yep.
I've got more respect for the guy who makes the mistake and says, "Yes, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I messed up," than the father who goes on Twitter to publicly embarrass his kid and totally crap on his reputation. Who's gonna book Cody Hall now? Oh, the kid stole money.
Yeah.
What a reputation the kid has now. The guy's got a good look. He's six foot plus. He's obviously Scott Hall's kid, and now his reputation is he stole money from his dad.
Yep. And when Cody Hall walks in the locker room, everybody, put your wallets up.
Yep. Hide your money. Hide your credit card. Hide your debit card. Because
yep.
I don't know how he stole the money. If he took his dad's credit card and paid his bills that way, or if he physically took money out, I don't know. But at the end of the day, yeah, he made a mistake, and he manned up to it. And where is Scott to come on social media and say, "Well, I've got a lot of respect for my son. I accept your apology. We'll get past this. Maybe I made a mistake by going on a public forum and publicly peeing on you." Where is Scott Hall to step up when you make a mistake and admit a mistake? I don't see it. He didn't admit. He never refuted the story about the pen. And now he's not going to go on a public forum and apologize for crapping all over his kid. And when the kid went on Twitter and said, "Yeah, I made a mistake. I got behind on my bills, and I did something I shouldn't have done. I'm sorry. I messed up." Who's the bigger man here? The toothpick or the kid? And you know, Scott Hall, you should be ashamed of yourself. You're the kid's father. You're the one that's supposed to have the wisdom. You've been around everywhere. The kid made a mistake, and you went on a public forum and crapped on him. Shame on you, Scott Hall. I'm not gonna sink to your level, and use your verbiage. But you know, all I can say, buddy, is look in the mirror. What a piece of garbage.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he can go blow himself.
Yeah, I mean, to quote Gorilla Monsoon, I mean, what a piece of garbage. And that's, I mean, be a man. Remember the old Randy Savage song, "Be a Man, Hogan"?
Right.
Well, be a man, Scott.
No, not even be a man. Be a father.
Yeah, be a father. But a man that doesn't do that. This is a lesson just in general. When you put anything on social media, it's there, buddy. If somebody does you wrong, don't go on social media.
Yep.
Think before you tweet.
Yep.
Think before you go on Facebook and write a big, long blog that you're gonna regret that you did. And just shame on you, Scott Hall. I guess you won't be winning the Father of the Year award anytime soon. That piece of garbage. On another note, that's my two cents on Scott Hall. You can agree or disagree. That's how I feel about it today. You know, we tell it like it. We keep it real here, Frank.
And that's the thing about it. We keep it real, and we tell it like it is. And my thing about it real quick is this, and this is just my opinion of it, and I'm going to roll up it farther than you. Bottom line is that, you know, Scott wasn't really a father to his son to begin with, up until recently when he got rehabilitated due to Diamond Dallas Page's, you know, yoga program. And I mean, what's really $1,000? I go through $1,000 like that, man. What's really $1,000? Okay, so your son messed up and took $1,000 from you. Yeah, I'm not saying it's right, but you know what? That's your kid.
Confront him.
You know, you
publicly
and
privately.
Exactly. Call him up on the phone and say, "Hey, yo, Cody, man, you took the money." That's what you do. You don't get on a public forum and you embarrass him, ruin his reputation, make people look at him differently now. I mean, how are you going to, I mean, really honestly, how can you come back from that?
I don't know.
That's what he's saying. How can you come back?
That's my whole point.
Yeah, how can you come back from that? Like, oh, so today's Monday. But you remember that tweet you put out on Saturday? About you know, just totally stealing from you? It's just complete, and that's why I say, man, Twitter and social media is just like, it's just bad things waiting to happen. And I guarantee you, if it wasn't for the podcast, if it wasn't for what we do, I probably wouldn't even have my ass on there.
I would. I'll be honest with you. In fact, I held out on Twitter and Facebook as long as I could. But it is a vehicle that we can promote ourselves on there. You notice you can go on my Facebook. I don't discuss my private affairs. I don't talk about what I talk about with my family, my friends. If I talk to a wrestler or a promoter, I don't go on there and you know, divulge the conversation. That's not what social media is. I mean, that's what people use it for, obviously. But I use social media to promote Gerwick.net. I use social media to promote the Gerwick Report podcast, GRP, promote myself, promote my work. But that's it, Frank.
Yep.
And there's so many negative aspects of it, and I just can't believe. Well, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, Frank.
No.
Should I be surprised that Scott Hall did this?
Scott Hall.
It's Scott Hall. Yeah. That's just garbage. And you really, as I said, you should really look in the mirror, Scott. Are you proud of what you did now? That your son was more of a man to come on his public forum and say, yeah, I messed up, rather than you addressing this issue internally in a private forum and figuring out and say, okay, kid, you sold $1,000 from me, you pay me back.
Exactly.
You pay me back $50 a week.
Dude.
It's $1,000. I mean, you can't live on $1,000.
I'm telling you, man.
Oh my gosh.
I go out to the store with my girl. I spend $1,000 in a day. It's $1,000 is nothing today. Look how much money I just spent the other day at Black Friday. $1,000 is nothing.
Right. And especially to go on a public forum and then to say, you know, don't trust anybody.
Right.
I mean, come on, Scott. You've been forgiven so many times, and then when your kid makes one mistake, you got to crucify him publicly.
Just bury him.
Maybe you should take your own advice, Scott. Really, I don't want to stoop to his level. And as you said, you know, Frank, telling another guy to suck it or blow him is
pretty gay.
It's pretty gay. I have to admit it. It is pretty gay. I mean, when you think about it, you a grown man tell another grown man to suck it or blow you.
It ain't even that. It's you're a grown elderly man down there telling somebody to blow them and suck it. And I'm like, what the hell was up with you guys back in the day in the click? Like, you're coming up with a lot of real homosexual overtones. Like, you know, I'm just saying there. It's like some of that stuff there. I don't get it. I mean, I've never heard Kevin Nash come out and tell somebody to blow him. I've never heard of that.
That's right. So you can take that toothpick, turn that bitch sideways, and shove it up your, well, you know the rest. There you go.
Yeah.
Chico. Yeah, you're a real bad guy, aren't you?
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. Pretty fitting moniker when you think about it. A couple other notes here I want to mention in closing here, Frank. Josh Matthews appears to be the new voice of TNA Wrestling, which I think I said this on a previous podcast. I mean, totally rebrand, new look, new set, new announcers can't hurt anything. And Josh Matthews is a pretty good announcer.
Yeah, he is. But you know what, Steve? Honestly, who at this point cares about the dead brand? I know I don't. I don't give a damn. If they brought back Tony Schiavone and Tony Schiavone was announcing at TNA, and I'm a big Schiavone fan, but this
right.
Man, I can care less because it's how many reboots has this company gone through over the years? They've rebooted, We rebooted, and it was, we are Impact Wrestling. We are wrestling. Remember when they changed it over and it looked like SmackDown? A lot of that blue?
Yep.
Okay, what's going to happen now? We're going to come back and we're on Destination America. What are you going to have? You're going to have red, white, and blue, like the Great American Bash, all over the place? Or are you going to rebrand it and you're going to have red? Or is it going to be black and white? What's the deal? Seriously, I mean, who gives a crap at this point about TNA? I don't even damn if they're going, if they reboot. I don't care if Josh Matthews is the announcer. Hey, that's great for him. It's great that the company's not closing. But I don't care because you don't have the talent roster is no longer in depth like it was at one point. So I don't give a damn.
I really don't either. I don't, you know, I don't have cable. I don't have satellite. And, you know, we ran the poll at Gerwig.net. You know, do you have access to Destination America? And 62% out there, Frank, said they don't.
I have access to it. It's on a another tier, and I'm not willing to pay for it. I'm not doing it. You know, I have on the current package I have right now with my cable, which I have Charter. I have the channels I watch. You know, like you know USA. I have it for Raw whenever I DVR that and fast forward it. You know, I have the channels I need to have, and Destination America ain't one of them. And just because the Dead brand is going to end up on Destination America, that is not going to persuade me to say, oh my God, I got to go out of here and I need to go get Destination America right now and watch the Dead brand on Destination America. No.
I think when people are saying no, I mean, if you have cable, you probably can change your package and get it, or satellite and change your package. I think when I had DirecTV, I don't remember being on there. Maybe I don't remember. Uh-huh. I mean, honestly, I mean, one of the main reasons I got rid of DirecTV was I'm paying for a lot of channels I don't even watch.
Dish had, I know Dish had it. I had access to the channel when I had Dish. I had it because I had the package, I had everything on it like an idiot. I was paying like $200 a month for my cable. So I had all the channels. And a lot of stuff, I would say probably a good 80% of it I wasn't even watching.
Right.
But I was paying for it. So I had Destination America. I was watching, you know, they had a lot of the Pitmaster shows on there and a lot of the food shows I like to watch. So I watched it for those reasons. But apparently, you know, Destination America is going to try to build the whole channel around the TNA. Because, you know, they said that TNA is the top league in professional wrestling. Well, you know what?
Top wrestling talent.
Top
wrestling promotion with top wrestling talent. Remember
right.
The press release.
I remember back in the day when the AWA touted this too, but they were on their way out of business. So that right whole that whole little thing there doesn't mean a damn thing to me. So hey, good luck, Dead Brand. But Frank D ain't gonna be watching, and I know a lot of other people ain't gonna be watching either.
Nope, not me. We'll be watching. In fact, if you wanted my honest reaction, just go to the previous podcast, right?
Exactly.
That was my reaction to Destination America. I agree with Frank. I'm glad they are still in existence. It is another opportunity for others. It's another league, but I mean, Frank, they're so far down the scale. It's not even close.
It's anybody's game right now to jump up and be number two by default.
I agree. And in fact, what Ring of Honor has a pay-per-view coming up, I believe this weekend even. So, you know, if you're tired of TNA and WWE, you may want to check out Ring of Honor's pay-per-view this weekend.
And if you want to go even one step further than that, you might want to check out Global Force Wrestling presents New Japan January 4th with Jim Ross on commentary. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to order that one. But how many other people out there are actually going to order the show? I mean, you people out there claim that you want to see something different. You claim that you're sick and tired of the WWE. But, you know, the problem with wrestling fans, Steve, is that they don't want to pay for nothing.
Well, we're cheap. Yahoo said that, right?
Well, that's what – seriously, that's how it is, though. I mean, you know, here's the deal. I'm saying right now that I don't want to watch TNA because – it sucks, and also because I don't want to upgrade my cable to another package where I got to pay more money. So I guess they're right. We are cheap.
Guess so.
But I'm going to – but here's the deal. I can't be that damn cheap, Steve, if I just spent like $500 on a PS4 bundle right now on Cyber Monday. I pay for what I want to pay for. You know what I'm saying? If I want to go out and pay $9.99 a month for the WWE Network, I'll pay $9.99 a month. Right now – I don't want to pay $9.99 a month for it because there's not anything on there that I don't want to see. I give a damn about watching the story about the Usos. I didn't give a crap. Okay? You need to be putting up the Monday night throws from 97, 98, and 99. You can keep 2000, 2001. You can keep all that in the vault. You know, you can play the WWF superstars back in the day with Jesse and Vince, play Wrestling Challenge with Gorilla in the Brain, play the Bobby Eaton Show. You know, actually play something I want to see, and then maybe I'll think about giving you that $10. You know what I'm saying? That's what you should do.
Yeah, TLC, no buys.
I'm not ordering, no.
Don't care to see it.
TLC, please.
I mean, that's the December pay-per-view. I mean, they gave you Survivor Series for free. Now they want you to... They gave you the Survivor Series for free, and now they want you to pay for TLC.
Well, they gave you Survivor Series for free with the debut of the Stinger. You think they're going to have any kind of surprise next month? For TLC? What's going to be a surprise? Big Show's going to turn face?
And you know what? I actually posted at GirlWig.net all the turns that we were talking about, how many times a Big Show has turned.
Yeah.
There's a list at GirlWig.net. It's a long list of how many times he's turned babyface and heel over the years.
And his reasoning makes no damn sense. I'm not even going to even go into it because I don't give a shit. I don't care. You know, that's the thing about it. I don't care about anything that they're doing. I don't care. I don't care about anything that's going on right now. And honestly, I don't care about anything that's going on right now in this business other than
either.
What we're talking about.
That's true.
With the CM Punk deal and seeing what they do tonight with this Vince McMahon interview. Other than that, I don't give a damn about anything they're doing. I ain't care less about it. I'm not a fan of Roman Reigns. I don't see the big deal.
Well, let me retract that. I do like Ring of Honor. I will say that.
Well, that's fine for you. Ring of Honor has some great athletes, but you know the problem with that is Frank D don't have it. He don't have access to Ring of Honor, so I cannot comment on it. You know, that's the thing about I can't comment on it. And am I really going to go on YouTube and go searching for Ring of Honor matches? Probably not.
I guess you're going to have to not be cheap and pay for a subscription to ROHWrestling.com.
if it's worth doing it, I'll do it. But here's the problem. Ring of Honor has some issue, too. You guys need to really up the production values over there, kid.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Yeah.
The pay-per-view, as you said, you know, honestly, with Global Force Wrestling, I mean, here's the problem with no television, Frank. Who knows about it? What is it? I mean, that's the whole thing. We don't know. We know a lot of the talent's going to be on the show. But, you know, here we are December 1st, and we're, about 5 weeks away? How are they promoting it? They have no television.
True.
Word of mouth. I mean, that's not going to get you a big buy rate.
No.
I'm sorry. You know, again, this is the whole mentality of, let's get on pay-per-view and maybe we'll get television, just like they did in TNA. That was the business model, right? Get on pay-per-view, maybe we'll get some television. In fact, I should say, New Japan got a deal with the former HDNet in Canada. Okay. So there's going to be some television. That's good. But in general, unfortunately, in today's world, Frank, if you don't have television for wrestling, you're probably not going to get very far. I mean, that's the whole thing with ROH. A lot of people can't see ROH. So you're missing a lot of great wrestling out there, but you don't have access to it.
Right.
Well, if people don't have access to Global Force Wrestling, I don't think they're going to buy a $25 show.
No. But I'm going to take a chance to buy it. Because I want to see something different. You know, I might order the Ring of Honor show this weekend. I might not order it. I've already ordered the Ring of Honor show already. I want to try something else.
Well, maybe you can borrow $25 from Scott Hall. And get the pay-per-view.
Here's the thing. I don't need to, I don't need to borrow anything from anybody. You know what I mean? I give $25 to a homeless person I see on the streets. And when I do that, they look at me like, really? And I'm like, yeah, but it's up to you what you do with that money.
What's the catch?
That's what they look at me. Seriously, they look at me like, what's the catch? Like, are you sure? Yeah, dude, it's just $25. What the hell? I'm just probably going to blow that on a DVD.
Frank blows that at McDonald's.
I don't eat McDonald's.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Frank would do that. Yeah,
back in the day I would, but I don't eat that crap now. I'm trying to be cancer free.
Beat that GMO garbage and that crony capitalism we have in this country.
Exactly.
Known as McDonald's, exempt from Obamacare.
Right.
Yeah. I want to say today congratulations to Christian. He was voted into the GirlWig.net Hall of Fame. I don't know how this worked out, Frank. He got in the Hall of Fame on November the 30th, and it just happened to be his birthday.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, that was irony. I mean, I didn't plan it that way, certainly, and it just I didn't even realize when it was for November, his birthday was in November. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at Andrew Davis's This Day in Wrestling History, and it says, Happy Birthday to Christian.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to say something else, too, out there, and that's why, you know, the listeners out there that are still with us at this point, I want to say you guys need to really join the GRP Facebook discussion group because you never know who is going to show up there in the threads. The everyday people are talking about CM Punk, and they're talking about how, you know, his comments, and they're talking about how WWE is, and who shows up? Johnny the Bull Sambo shows up in one of the threads.
Yep.
And he's going back and forth with one of the discussion group members. You never know who's going to show up on the GRP. We are legit. So go ahead, join the GRP. It's free. Everything we do is free. Join the YouTube channel. It's free. Previous interviews up there. Teddy Long, Russo, you name it, it's up there. And in 2015, it's only going to get better.
Absolutely. And, yeah, which had, what, Disco Inferno on there for one discussion?
Yeah, Glenn Gilberti up there. And it's funny because I didn't even know who the hell it was until I saw the name. Because I'm going with this person, right? And it's like, I don't know, man. It's like people just like, I guess when they get in a conversation with me, they probably think, oh, this dude doesn't know what he's talking about or whatever. And then I tend to shut people up because I do know what the hell I'm talking about. It's like the other night somebody was up there getting on Johnny the Bull, and they're like, oh, you probably have one dark match. Well, actually, no. He was a part of National Born Thrillers in WCW. He was a tag team with Vito and the Mamalukes. He was part of the FBI in the WWE. And Johnny the Bull, he liked my comment because it's the truth.
And Johnny's a great guy. I've interviewed him over the years. We've exchanged social media messages over the years. Really good guy. Really gets it in the real world. Yep. He knows what's going on. So I really enjoy talking to people that are kind of awake to what's going on.
Yep.
Rather than living in this left-right paradigm that we live in that, you know, oh, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican or, oh great. What does that get you in life, right?
Yep.
Wake up to what's really going on.
Exactly.
Well, in this world, realize the Federal Reserve is not federal. I know it's hard to believe, but the banks print the money and charge us interest for our own money. That's a great scheme, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep. For the profit banks, Federal Reserve Bank. You think it's government run? No, it's not. They print the money, they loan it to us at interest, and then we go into further debt. Great system. Yeah. So Johnny knows that he. Works in the banking world, so he knows all about that stuff. So, as you said, yeah, follow us on the GRP, Gurk Report podcast on Facebook. Great discussions, great threads. Every day some new content is posted up there. Sometimes YouTube clips, discussions on different topics. Sometimes things we discuss on here might show up on there or vice versa. I mean, we've done it before where Frank has read comments from you out there. With other topics. In fact, we'll probably do the next podcast. I know because this podcast, we knew it was going to be pretty full with the CM Punk situation. So hopefully you enjoyed our two cents on what's going on with CM Punk. And as always, reach out to us. We're on Facebook, as we've just mentioned. We're on Twitter at Gerwick Report. I'm Steve Gerwick on Twitter. I'm also Gerwick for the wrestling side. Steve Gerwick is the anti-real NWO, not Hogan Hall and Nash. You can follow us on our YouTube channel that Frank mentioned earlier in the podcast. More and more subscribers every day. So check out all the clips that Frank posts, our podcast, different interviews, TV tracks, post a lot of our stuff as well. You can check those out there. We're on TuneIn. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. You can download our podcast, just like The Art of Wrestling, which we promoted today for Colt Cabana and CM Punk. We're on Spreaker, and we're on Instagram. So I think we got the bases pretty well covered there, Frank.
Right, and also if you want to reach out to me and send emails or whatever, you can also hit me up at the GerwickReport@gmail.com as well. And you can also follow Frank D on Twitter at RealFrankDEE at Twitter.com. And you can also hit me up on Facebook And if you are a member of the discussion group, you already know Frank D's Facebook page. So if you want, hit me up.
All right. Very good. So we always appreciate your support. We do this for the listeners out there. So interact with us one way or another, and stay tuned for the next edition of the GRP.